about to go a-wandering along the mountain track. And as I go, I love to sing my knapsack on my back.
Wanderings again. It was 2019 when you first were on Wanderings, and you talked with us. You were one of two people that interviewed in 2019, and why was that? That was a famous year.
Well, that was our COVID year, the beginning of our wonderful COVID year, where we were in isolation and not happy about it.
Oh.
There are so many new residents here since you've been here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your living in Colorado, and you're a Colorado native, aren't you?
I am, yes. Some people say Denver native. No, not quite a Denver native. I was born in Hayden, Colorado, which you've probably never heard of, although they do have an airport now. It's quite fancy.
Cool.
And my great-grandfather had a ranch over there, and my father was born on the ranch, and my mother graduated from CU in 1927, but there were no jobs available, except there was one at the Hayden Union High School, so she went over Corona Pass to teach at the Hayden Union High School, and that's where she met my dad, and that's why I was born in Hayden.
Now, what part of Colorado is Hayden?
Northwest.
Okay.
Over between Steamboat and Craig. And the reason they have the airport is to let the skiers come to Steamboat to ski, and that was the place that they chose for the airport.
Keeps them happy.
It is on the map, but barely.
And you say the ranch is still in your family?
Not in our family, no. It is the Nature Conservancy has it now.
Okay.
And if all goes according to plan, and you know how that is, I think my grandson and his lady friend are going to be married at that ranch sometime in the future. So we're excited about that.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
I asked him if he'd made the arrangements. He says, well, no, but I do have the phone number. So we'll see. They don't move very fast.
You don't know when the wedding is yet, or they don't know yet?
Oh, probably going to be a year and a half away.
So they still have some time. Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, how long were you there before you made a move away from the ranch?
Well, about 5 years. My dad had to drop out of college to come home and run the company store for the mine there that my great-grandfather sold the ranch to, the Victor American Fuel Company. And the premise was that the person that bought it would have my grandfather, his son-in-law, run the company store. But he got sick, so my dad had to come home and run it. And at that time, he was also doing the books for the mine company and taking correspondence courses to get his CPA. And at that time, we came to Denver. He did not want to be a cowboy.
He made sure of that, didn't he? But what were you doing then?
Well, I was about 5 years old.
But where did you go to school?
In Denver, I went to Park Hill and Smiley and East Denver High School and then on to CU. I've never left. I've always lived here. Worked for me.
Oh, that was good. And after CU, you were prepared to do what?
Well, I graduated with a degree in secondary education, thinking I would teach English to the high school or college, and there were no jobs available at that level. But he said, I have a nice third grade. You'll love it. And I said, well, I don't even know what they look like. And he said, that's okay. He said, if you'll go back and get your master's and pick up the courses that you didn't get to teach elementary, why, we could work this out. So I did.
And what was your first impression of those children?
The children were fabulous. I just loved the kids. I did it for 7 years. I taught third grade for 3.5, and then the library opened, so I did that for another 3.5. So I had kindergarten through 6.
So were you the school librarian?
I was the school librarian.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good.
And it was in a very low-income housing project area. So that's where I got my education. It was a whole different way to look at people.
I bet you felt you couldn't do enough for those children.
Yeah, you really do feel that way. And it was just heartbreaking, but they loved school. It was a haven to them. And I kind of wanted them to feel that way about school. Then the last year, along with the library, I did a television program on Channel 6. They had a competition. At that time, the Denver Public Schools owned Channel 6, which is PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And there was what they called the Better School of the Air, and they had Spanish classes, French, literature, all different kinds of them. And they needed a fourth grade literature teacher. And so I thought, oh, I could do that. So I applied for it and was fortunate enough to get it. And it was a half an hour for a year every Monday. Then I had to go back to the library and tidy up what the substitute teacher had done.
And that required a lot of preparation, didn't it, to go on TV?
Every program took about 20 hours of preparation.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you need to explain that because it doesn't seem real, but you know.
Well, I did interviews of people that they brought forth to be interviewed. I read stories, and you had to take a whole book and cut it to a half an hour. And that doesn't mean just read a chapter here and a chapter there. You had to take a word from chapter one and then maybe go to a word into chapter five and piece it all together to make it all one unit for a half an hour. And it's very time consuming.
And you had to handle the publishers?
Yes, and before we could do that, I had to go to DU that summer and choose all the books for the whole year that I was going to use.
That seems overwhelming. How on earth?
And I said, but, you know, this is really not a convenient thing for me to do. I'm getting married this summer. They said, you'll do it. Just do it. And they said, you could have college credit or else you can get the money. And I said, you know, I've got enough credit. I don't want to do any more college. I've had enough of that. I'll take the money. So I got a big $15.
Oh, that would really be a hard job to do for $15.
It was one of those things you wouldn't do again for $1 million, but you wouldn't take $1 million for the experience.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience.
Well, they were so lucky to have you. Just think of all these little children listening to you.
Well, I found that I did a lot better when I had my children in the studio. I would arrange to have 6 or 7
of them. Could be a lot more spontaneous.
Down.
Yeah.
And they were a big help. Just looking at that red eye of the camera is not conducive to doing mm-hmm. good work.
Now, there was one publisher that did not allow you. Tell us about that.
Yes. I was so disappointed because my very favorite is Winnie the Pooh. And they said, no, we cannot give you permission to use it.
That may be sad also, yeah, to hear that.
Very sad.
Because I think we've been brought up with Winnie the Pooh so lovingly. So you even had to dress in costume for, this was TV, so
yes.
Not just radio.
That's right. It was live. We didn't have any tape in those days. So if you made a mistake, it was there forever.
And you also said you had no computers.
No computers in those days.
So you couldn't sit there behind the screen and get your information from all these?
Oh, no. It was just, you know, there you are.
There's the 20
camera.
Hours. Yeah.
But, yes, I had one producer who loved to get me in costumes. So I remember one particular one where I was Martha Washington, with wig and all, and the dress and the whole thing, to read about my husband George's biography. Oh, it was fun, but I was glad when the half hour was over.
Oh, it's a little bit of tension, you know, for that, but what a wonderful experience.
It was good.
Yeah.
And then you went on to work in the convention center as a concierge.
Well, before that, at that time, I'd say I stopped teaching when I was, after 7 years, started to raise a family. And my husband at that time said he would like to open his own business, a geologic consulting firm. And we did, and I did all of his typing and bookkeeping and the payroll and the taxes. And
you were home.
I was able to work, do all that at home, so that was good. And we had two children. We spent a lot of time during those years trying to get a school for our daughter who had Down syndrome, and they wouldn't allow her into the schools at that point. But finally we prevailed, and now children with disabilities can have a free public school education. So I feel very
well. Much thanks to you as parents and to other parents that really push for these things,
because
no one understands like the parents do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, as Sandy said, then I kind of got that all under control and had an opportunity to be a concierge at the Colorado Convention Center.
And I think, Sandy, aren't you a little envious of that?
It was a dream job. It was part-time, and we got paid. Not very much, but we did get paid. Met people from all over the world, and we made reservations, dinner reservations, and planned trips to the mountains and answered questions. Our office was the information booth right behind the Blue Bear at the convention.
So now we all have a picture in our mind where you were sitting.
And you knew everything about the city, all the restaurants.
We had to know everything. The computers were not there yet, so it all had to be in our heads. And we had to get people on the right bus to go to the right place. You think, gee, I hope this works. If I never see them the next day, that's going to be a problem. But it worked very well.
So did you have some training before you took this job as to what you knew about Denver? Or?
No, not really.
They just trusted that you, being a Denver or Colorado person.
They said, this is your job, so do
research.
It. And we worked very well together, usually two of us at a time down there.
That's
but
great.
It was
you had many international visitors, didn't you? Yeah, come
all out? Over the world, yes.
Oh, wonderful. How exciting.
It was fun.
I would have loved to have been there with you.
Did some of them repeat back what you recommended as a restaurant, or did they recommend something they had been to the night before?
Yes, we were very happy to have any of the input that they had, and they were good about coming back and saying, this was a good one, you know, thank you, and then we tried something else, and that was good, so you should know about that.
Now, did you get a good tip for this information ever?
We couldn't accept tips. And they wanted to tip us, and we said, no, you know, it's our pleasure. You just, we want you happy. And they would insist upon it. We'd say, no, we really can't do that. And then one man just dropped it and ran. So, all right, you win.
And you just couldn't leave your station to get him.
That's right. Couldn't chase him.
Well, you must have done some wonderful things to help people out mm-hmm. then at that point. And then meeting people is...
That was the best, yeah. We had, you know, the Clintons were there quite often, and we had, I think the most exciting was the Israeli delegation came. And that convention center had never been so clean. they had dogs, you know, bomb-sniffing dogs, and way before the time when we had to do that. So it was... very, very interesting.
Now, were you expected to know the names of some of these people? Or you probably did.
They were famous at the time.
What a wonderful experience.
It was. I did that for 20 years.
So at what point did you come to Holly Creek?
In 2017, my husband and I decided that we had a lot of yard work. It was a big property, and he did all of the outside, and we decided that, you know, maybe it's time.
Now, where was your home at that time?
We were up at Holly and Quincy.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And And so we watched Holly Creek being built and thought, well, you know, that might be good to look into.
That's what brought you here?
Well, we did a lot of research. We went to about everyone we'd ever heard of. You know, they send you those things in the mail,
mm-hmm.
and you go to lunch and to lectures. We thought, well, we can do that. That'll be nice. So we went to all of them and checked them all out, and Holly Creek always came up way the best.
And Sandy, haven't we heard that pretty often? No. Holly Creek was the winner.
I think I moved here the year before you moved in here.
Uh-huh.
I moved here in 2016.
Yeah. Well, it was right decision for both of us.
We were.
And your husband was with you when you moved in?
Yes, and he lived here about a year and a half, and then he passed away in 2018.
And you have dug in right from the beginning, even before doing things for Holly Creek, and you still do. You're involved in so many things, and I think one thing we had hoped to talk with you about is the food committee. So,
well, the food
tell us the lowdown.
I am the chairman of the food committee, and it's really a very, very rewarding job. It's busy, but I have a fabulous committee of eight, and working with this incredibly wonderful kitchen staff, they are the best.
Do you get to be a taster?
Yes.
You do? Yes. They want your recommendation of what was good?
Well, whenever they hire a new chef, that chef has to take a written test and have a telephone interview and a personal interview, and then has to cook for somebody in upper management. His name is Lee, but I'm not quite sure what his title is. And Tom, who is the director of dining. And there's Sonia, who is also in upper management with CLC. And me. And
oh.
This poor chef.
But does he prepare a meal with a table and you sit down?
Yes.
Fun.
And has to prepare a 3-course meal and tell us why this was chosen and what it's all about and the ingredients and the time, everything.
That is so interesting. I don't think we know much about that.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a nice position to be in as far as I'm concerned. We get wonderful food. And it's.
And I think that the presentation of the dishes is beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're really. When they come to the tables, it looks very nice.
They really do a nice job. And our job is not to plan the menus, but anybody should feel very comfortable to talking to any of us who are on the committee.
Well, tell us who's on the committee.
Okay, well, oh my goodness. Okay, well, there are eight of us. Karen Ramsey, Charlie Brown, Tammy Jadan, Connie Summer, Dave Vitale, David Roos.
Did I say
Martha Groby?
No, I think that's your eight, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we meet with Holly and Tom and Michelle and Kevin, and everybody is heard. I have an agenda of what we have need to follow up to, and then things that are new.
So what? Give us a sample of what is your agenda.
Well, it's mostly what people have come to me and said, you know, this is a bad thing or this is a good thing.
So you handle complaints and suggestions.
Definitely. Uh-huh. And everybody will be heard. We may not agree with you, but we will talk about it. And then immediately change happens. We meet the second Tuesday at 2 o'clock in Centennials. Anybody is welcome to come. And I meet with Tom the week before to kind of let him know what's coming.
Go ahead, Sandy.
And you have a suggestion box that people can put a suggestion inside the box.
Yes, there are always cards on the table, and you can... fill out those cards and put them in.
Who looks at that? Who's the first person that looks in that box?
No, I don't. They do that.
The kitchen does that?
The kitchen does that.
Uh-huh. And do they do that on a regular basis?
Oh, yes, every day.
Every day they do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
And they're very easy to work.
You know, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun and some nice food. How do you get on the food committee?
Well, people say, gee, I'd like to be on the committee. And so I put their name on a piece of paper with all the other names of people who are interested. And then when we have an opening, why, the committee decides from that list.
And is there a term? Is it like for a couple years?
It's a two-year term.
Two-year term.
And then after that 2 years, then you can decide to take two more years if you wish.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of that time, then that's it.
So there are many deadlines, and yeah, there'd be for eight people, 2 years for that person.
Yes.
Okay.
It's term limited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like fun.
Is this how you started the community table?
Yes. When I was on the committee to begin with, I thought the first time I will be quiet, I will just sit and listen and not mm-hmm. say anything. Well, that didn't happen.
That's a good thing.
At that time, James was the director of dining, and he was there. And Jean Newman was the chairman at that point. She said, does anybody have anything else? And I said, actually, I do. I said, I really would like very much to have a community table that is hosted every night. And I explained why, and James said, yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. Let's do it.
I think it's a wonderful idea.
And it has done, I think, quite well. People enjoy it. It's hosted every night, and on Sunday at 10:30, every night at 5. We don't. You can't get your order in until 5 o'clock. You can sit and visit. That's okay. That's fine. But we're trying to make it a little easier for the servers so that they can do everybody at once instead of dribbling in.
Well, I had been on the hospitality committee for about 4 years, so I was really happy to hear about the community table.
And we
it's
do
it's wonderful for new residents or single residents or couples.
Whoever wants to come.
You know. It's and a very welcoming.
And if it's full, they will start another community
How
table.
Does the hosting come about?
Well, I insisted on having a host because mm-hmm. I thought if there's only one person that's sitting there,
that makes good sense, yeah.
Then that would not be good.
And how do you become a host?
Well, I talk to people to say, wouldn't you like to do that? And a lot of people have really enjoyed it. We have full staff, and if somebody is not available that particular night, that's okay. They get somebody else.
And so each host has the same night every week. Is that how it works?
Yeah, same night. I do every Tuesday night. Tonight's my night.
Tonight's your night. Well, it's happy.
People just appear at 5 o'clock?
Or I would say get there about quarter of 5.
Quarter of 5. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the residents who want to have dinner there, mm-hmm. should they be there at quarter of 5?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And you seat 6 to 7 people.
Uh-huh. We have had as many as 8, but that's kind of crowded. And so if there are 2 or more, well, then we'll start another table. Otherwise,
that's what I was wondering. If you're the 8th person or the 9th person that wants to sit at one of those tables, you still can be accommodated somehow.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
Then who would you get? You just pull someone to host?
Oh, well, the staff works very well to do that.
Oh, that's nice. Uh-huh. Well, there's a good cooperation there between, and I noticed also too, if you come in alone, they will ask you if you would enjoy having company mm-hmm. for the meal or not, mm-hmm. and they ask both parties.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a good staff.
It works.
They're very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. They're very thoughtful.
Yes. Well, now you also are involved in the low vision.
Yes, I don't do much work for it, but I do attend the meetings. We meet every first Monday at 3 o'clock in Silverton, and we have speakers. Doctors have come to us, very high-powered doctors that tell us about how to handle your particular ailment. And then sometimes we just go around and say what's new in our own lives. What has our ophthalmologist said at this point? And we have people that have aides to help us. They come and tell us about their equipment and things that we can get to help. But mostly it makes you feel like you're not in this all by yourself.
No, I loved hearing that, because I think that probably is the biggest thing, that people feel lonely if they cannot see or hear adequately.
It's been a godsend for both my husband and me.
Yeah.
I have macular degeneration, and that's what he had. And I was his eyes and ears at one point, and then I got it.
Yeah.
And so it has helped both of us. It's just a wonderful group.
I think it's wonderful to be in groups with others who have the same problems.
Mm-hmm. And there's a big event associated with your low vision.
Yes, we have every October, we have a vision walk and raise money for it. And Holly Creek has been the winner of all of these groups all over the city and the state.
Well, about how many from Holly Creek turn out for that?
Probably, I would say, maybe a dozen.
Uh-huh.
And it's a big event. It's at City Park, and it's usually a beautiful day, and they give us lunch and coffee and music. And
it is such fun. I've gone several years. David Vitale sort of heads it.
Yes, David has done it.
Well, I see all these blue shirts. Isn't that the...
That's right. We're supposed to wear our blue shirts the first Monday of the month when they have their meeting.
Well, that's a good community kind of thing, too. Yeah. You don't have to be in that group, but you can support it that way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then the money goes to Foundation Fighting Blindness, and it goes for research. And one thing that has come out of that are the drops that go to macular degeneration with the wet kind. People get drops in their eyes.
All through the research.
And that is just straight from our money. So it's pretty exciting to know that it has done very good things.
I work for a woman ophthalmologist. excuse me. I worked for a woman ophthalmologist here in Denver for 10 years. So I like to walk in her memory. Mm-hmm. And I love to go. It's a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. And but I think there are closer to 30 of us from Holly Creek.
Well,
most, you know, sometimes there are a few, but there are quite a few that go.
Quite a few.
Mm-hmm. And Michelle comes.
Oh, yes, Michelle's very active.
And she's a good supporter, isn't she, of our activities here. She really works well with the people.
She supports so many things here.
And she has the enthusiasm and the cheerleader type. So, Jeannie, I noticed you also love to write. And you write, well, you've done some of your own writing in books. You said even in your 70s you were writing?
I started writing books when I was in my 70s.
And you've written four books?
Four books.
Uh-huh. Do we have them in our library here?
They do, yes. Well, there are only two in there now. Some of them I have found don't find their way back to the library.
I'm sad to hear that.
which is disappointing.
It is.
Well, I started out, my first one was about, based on the life of my great-grandmother. And I never met her, but I had a lot of information and thought I'd put that down. So, and then second one was a collection of memoirs. And the third one was a children's book about bullying.
Ooh.
And then the last one, my granddaughter gave me for Christmas a Storyworth, which you do online.
I've heard of that, yeah.
And you get a question every week, and you have to answer that question. And at the end of the year, you get a
hardback book. You did a whole year for that already?
A whole year.
Mm-hmm. That must have been fascinating.
It was fun to do, and working with my granddaughter, too. And you can put pictures in it. It's been a fun thing to do.
Well, I know our time is almost done. I want to mention one more thing. You were Maud for Thespians for a while with David Ruse, who was Maxwell.
Maxwell and Maud, yes.
You did a beautiful job in that, and it was fun for...
Well, it was certainly fun to do.
And dear Maud, I think it's time that we have to say this is it for Wandering. So... Jeannie Wilde, you're a treasure to have here in Holly Creek. We all enjoy you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
We're so fortunate to have you.
Come by.